Good morning. Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Ron Fruit. Today, our program has been recorded in advance to allow all of our guests to be able to be here at the same time. We're pleased to be joined by Darren Gudgeon today, who is Richland County's Director of Emergency Management and the Director of Richland County's Ambulance Service. Fred Clary and Janetta Kirkpatrick join us today. Janetta is the chair of the Richland County Board. Fred is our vice chair. Both serve on the Emergency Management Committee as well. And Fred, of course, comes to our program having served our community as an EMT for more than 30 years. To all of you, welcome. It's good to have you here. Darren, this is really the next installment in the discussions that we've talked about are very important. If nothing else, hearing the conversation, maybe we cover something we've covered in the past, but the more people can hear and the more engaged they become, that's the challenge you've provided to be able to talk through this situation.
And the goal of this, Ron, is basically to handle this as if I was handling public information for an emergency, which is to consistently give accurate and information to the public so that they can be involved and engaged and kind of follow along as the process is going. And so that's really where we started out with, and today's conversation will be another part of that, sharing with the public kind of where we're at, perspectives of the service, and allowing some of the leadership of the county to interject and put their thoughts into this too.
You can run, but you can't hide. What we're going to talk about today really fits every community in our entire listening area, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. This is an issue that any community, whether it's a county or a city or a district that is operating EMS with volunteers, this is an issue that they're going to have to face and resolve. We're facing it now because we're the busiest service in the area. And as we go through this, we kind of want to be able to incorporate all the other services around us so that the system will be stronger rather than weaker when the solution is finally made.
In a nutshell, it's having enough people to cover and make sure that you can do it without burning those people out, that you can do it reliably, do it effectively, or whatever adjective we might find.
Correct.
And so that's where we begin this morning. Janet and Fred, I really want to thank you for coming. I know your schedules are very busy. It's a delight to have you here. I thought the ad hoc meeting, Janetta, was very beneficial. I certainly learned, and I felt that there was excellent representation from corners of the county, our villages, townships, city, county. I thought it was a good conversation and a good opportunity for everyone to come together.
I did too. I was very pleased with the attendance. We had 53 people in attendance. Invitations had been sent out to all the town chairs, and then they could pass that on to whomever they wanted to in the township. The discussion was good, the suggestions were good, and our sort of takeaway from that was a consensus that we need to form a committee, because 53 people trying to make decisions can get a little cumbersome, and to form a committee to study this. And so we're looking at putting a committee together that would represent all the players, two from the county, two from the villages, two from the townships, two from the city, and two EMTs to come together and meet and come back with a proposal that we would provide then to the entire county.
In a reasonably short period of time.
Yeah, the suggestion was 120 days, and I think that's too long. I think we should have it done in about 90 days, because quite honestly, we have to start looking at budget for 2015, and so do they, the township. So we're hoping that we can have an answer or a proposal, I should say, but at the end of 90 days.
There was no question. I mean, there were consensus on a lot of things at that meeting, and there were people who had different concerns, but no one denied this isn't an issue. I mean, I think every one of those people in that room that night said, yes, this is an issue.
They did, and that was really, they sent people that attended the meeting understood the issue, and so we weren't having to educate them from the very beginning. They just needed to hear more about the financial piece. And once we provided those figures for them, the room, I think you could sense it sort of, there was a feeling of, well, let's just get this done. There was not, it was a really good feeling in the room. At least I sense that we just need to get this done.
Fred, I think you made just an excellent point before we started our program, and that is our conversation isn't about the quality of volunteers we currently have. If we could just clone them, we could be in great shape, couldn't we?
Oh, my, yes. We've got some fantastic people in our communities around here that volunteer 24/7. There's no question about it. Firefighters, EMS, first responders. We ask an awful lot of those people every day of the year, holidays, weekends, etc. But at some point, we've got to step up to the plate and start helping them, especially the EMS people. The volume of calls, somewhere in my paperwork here today, we've got the numbers here for Richland Center. I think it was over 900 calls in 2013, as my memory works. That's almost three per day, every day. And those come in at any time of the day and night. So we really have to grasp this and come to a workable solution.
In many ways, when you first started in EMS, I mean, it was a challenge then too, wasn't it, to try to meet everyone's schedule? I mean, there were people running out on their Thanksgiving dinner. There was trying to make sure all those hours were covered. In some ways, this has been a problem or a challenge, maybe not problem, but a challenge that's always been around, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, but each year that goes by, the training requirements that they have to go through keeps getting greater and greater. The number of hours of training that is required now just to become an EMT, I'm going to have to refer to Darren here on the number of hours, but it's quite substantial what it is today and what it was 30, 40 years ago. And I'm not saying that's not good, because we all want high quality care, but you're talking about volunteers to do this. And, you know, my hat goes off to all these people to do this on a day-to-day basis.
What if the training requirements would be as they are today when you would have started in EMS? Would it have made you think twice about how much time you were going to have to give simply for training, Fred?
I'm sure it would have. There's no question about it. Would it have changed my mind? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Ask me that way back then. But it is a huge commitment. There's no question about it.
You know, and I think that's what you see, isn't it, Darren, that there are people who have the heart to serve, but all of a sudden the reality of life's pressures and the requirements to be an EMT suddenly are overwhelming.
Well, they are, and it's again, and I mentioned before, I've come across a lot of great people whose heart is in the right place, and they're very intelligent. It's just a matter of time, and then when they see and realize the number of hours and the time that they have to allot just to be involved in EMS, it's pretty significant. 1974, it was 81 hours to complete the EMT basic class. Our squad just went through our advanced EMT refresher, and we were up near, some of us were up near 70 hours just to refresh our license.
So that's not very refreshing, is it?
No. Well, no, but we got through it. We were all pretty happy Saturday when our instructor told us that we all passed and it was over with. But, you know, you look at that, to maintain the level that we're providing now, the refresher hours are almost equal to that. The number of hours in 1974 when EMS first started in Wisconsin. So it's not a matter of there's not good people that wouldn't be willing to do it. It's a matter of how do you fill in all of that with everybody else's busy schedule.
Janet, it seems to me when we look at Richland County, understanding our ambulance service serves part of the people of the county. We have the other services, thinking of Kickapoo and Lone Rock and Cazenovia. This, it makes it complicated, but, I mean, you're kind of like a puzzle, aren't you? That if one piece is missing, it just isn't going to work very good, and you need every piece to be as good as it can be?
We do. We need everyone to be strong, and so our strengths are enhanced by Kickapoo being strong and vice versa, and the same with Lone Rock and Cazenovia. So we really do need all to be pulling in the same direction for a solution so that we can all maintain our strengths.
And I don't mean to leave out first responders, because they also play a critical role,
right,
in this piece, don't they,
yes,
in
they
all
do.
Parts of the county.
That's true.
Does it make it more complicated, though, where you do have a county that has these different services, or is that a par for the course circumstance when you look at the state of Wisconsin?
Well, I'm kind of a novice at this. What I think some of the other counties have is more more larger cities that can kind of balance the needs. We only have one large city, mm-hmm. which is Richland Center, and so we are real dependent to be in Richland Center, and that comes into play with the mix. But I really can't speak to other counties other than there's the population, there's more population, and there's more of a balance with larger cities.
Is there one point that you would really like to have those of us in Richland County understand from your perspective of a county board member and an emergency management committee member? Is there one thing that if we really could grasp and understand would help make this whole process easier for all of our elected officials, Janetta?
Well, one thing I want people to know is that we want to do what's best for the county. The county is for all of the county members. And that we as a county can deliver the service with some tweaking and with some understanding that we don't want to use tax levy because that comes from all the county members. And we only want to increase the fees for those who are using our service. We have 18,000 people in the county. We have 11,000 using our service. So there's 7,000 that are already paying, and so we don't want to tax them twice. And so we can do that with the tools that we have. We can drill down and figure out who those people are. And we're willing to use those tools. We're willing to bring our skills to the table and come to a solution. And so I want everyone to know that we want to work with everyone to come up with a solution.
It was no secret that that was a concern for those areas that are covered by those other services.
Correct. I mean, Viola sent 4 representatives to the meeting to make sure that we understood. And I live in that area. I know exactly what they're saying. And it would not be fair because in a way they're already, you know, even though it looks like the service is free, the village is providing quite a substantial payment to the ambulance service there.
Particularly when you divide it over the number of individuals that are in the village
of
Viola.
Correct. I mean, they're making quite a contribution, and so it would not be fair to have them then to pay again on top of that. So that's what we're going to try to avoid. We will avoid that.
Now, Fred, when we talk about extra costs and people are saying, where is that coming from? That's really an investment in people and potentially, depending upon how the organization would be run, could be some costs there too. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. And just to add...
By all means.
To what Janetta said, yeah, that was right from the very beginning. We said we weren't going to, if I can use the term, double tax. We said right up front we were not interested in double taxing, and we're not, I'm not interested in doing that at all, and Jeanette isn't. I don't think anybody is at all. But yeah, it does come down to cost, and we want to find the most advantageous and cost-effective way to do this. And yeah, there is going to be some cost. We can't deny that. But I think we can collectively find a solution that's going to benefit everybody.
Status quo is not an option for the future. Is that
afraid
a correct statement?
That is a correct statement. It's not.
So there's going to have to be change in whatever manner this committee or the residents, if we provide input, in what direction we want to go.
Correct. And our challenge or our opportunity is to find the best one or the best way to do that. And I think we have the tools that we can do that.
Now, is the county still willing to run an ambulance service as it has in the past, but with some of the changes that would be required to allow personnel to serve and to be reliable in terms of response and otherwise, Fred?
Yes. The short answer is yes. In fact, that's one of the options, if I can use that term, that we have put forward. Yeah, we have the infrastructure, and we can continue that infrastructure if that is what the people choose.
Do you see some pros and cons? I guess, you know, and all microphones are on in that regard. You know, are there some advantages to that? Are there some disadvantages to that?
Well, I think there are the advantages for us to continuing is that we have the infrastructure, but we also have the expertise in Darren. And so I think that's two real strong pluses. The disadvantages, anytime there's change, there's always, I don't want to say chaos, but uncertainty.
It's unnerving.
It's unnerving. And, you know, county boards don't change a lot of things. So this would require some change. What we would be recommending is to appoint an ambulance services committee that would be separate. It would be something that would have representation from the city, from the county, from the townships, and that way, and have it staggered in such a way that the county couldn't dominate the vote, so that truly the voice of the townships and the city would have the major vote on that committee. We would be recommending that we change the budgeting so that it's a segregated fund, and that money would, any of the money that comes in, the fees, would be kept separate. Currently it goes back to general fund, and a lot of people find that they're not acceptable. And so we would change the budgeting so that it would be a segregated fund. And so change would be the disadvantage, I think. But the advantages would be the comfort level that we would have, that we could provide the service and that we wouldn't be so stretched so thin. That's really, it takes a toll, and particularly on Darren, because he's responsible.
Now, one of the things that came up during the meeting, people asked questions about facilities, Janetta. Mm-hmm. You know, could the ambulances still be housed at the courthouse? Could we use those facilities, into the future?
Yes and no. We, even without any changes, the ambulance service using the basement, so to speak, of the courthouse has started to come in question. And so that would, in all fairness, we would look for some other place to house the ambulances. But in the immediate future, we would continue the housing of the ambulance as is where they are now, should the county be selected to continue running the service.
So if you had other changes, that's one constant that could be dealt with until such time as it was appropriate to look for alternatives.
Right, and we're talking, when we say near future, year or two, mm-hmm. we're not talking in 6 months. No, that's one constant that would stay the same. The staff could stay the same. What would be added would be that blended part. There's some management administrative issues with taking volunteers and blending them with hired paid staff. And that will take some thought, training, and in servicing on both parts. The volunteers will have to come to terms with that, I think, is the best way to describe that. Because, when you're a volunteer, that's very different than being paid, and you've got to work on that relationship.
Well, one of the things, go ahead, Fred.
I'm just going to say one thing that was mentioned very early on with this mix of paid staff and volunteer staff. There was a concern amongst the volunteers that the paid staff would just be working daytime. And that was not going to be the case. The paid staff, or the full-time staff, whichever way you wish to identify them, they were going to be working days, nights, evenings, weekends, holidays. They were going to be spread throughout the 24/7. So they weren't just going to get the day shifts, so to speak. And I think once that was determined, I think the volunteers realized that was a little bit more comforting.
Well, that was going to be my very question. Mm-hmm. So that was, in essence, that they would receive the same priority in scheduling, the same priority in time off, have the same level of respect that a full-time hired employee would have, correct?
Correct. I'm not certain just what the actual schedule would look like, but they were going to be required to work, like I say, evenings and nights, and Darren had worked out a tentative type of schedule, and nothing was finalized, but they weren't just going to work the 9-to-5 shift, so to speak.
We need to take a break. When we come back, our conversation will continue. Our guests today include Janetta Kirkpatrick, Fred Clary is here today, and Darren Gudgeon. The Morning Show returns in just a moment. Welcome back to the Morning Show on WRCO Radio. We're talking about the whole issue of emergency medical service in Richland County today with Janetta Kirkpatrick, who is the County Board Chair. Fred Clary, Vice Chair of the Richland County Board, is with us as well. Our program has been recorded in advance to let all of our schedules work together. And certainly Fred and Janetta, as I mentioned, also serve on the Emergency Management Committee. Darren Gudgeon is here today, our Emergency Management Director and Director of the Ambulance. This whole discussion of staffing is really important. You've had that discussion with current EMTs, and as we were visiting during the break, Darren, this is an issue that you really want to be sensitive to so that there's respect to those who have served with dignity and integrity. And it's going to be the same issue no matter what direction we go. Really, every option that you've put forward requires this staff discussion, doesn't it?
Correct. And even if there was other options out there, I still think that staffing is going to be the number one issue that has to be solved. And going back to the discussion about the blended crew or the combination volunteer career, our volunteers are the core and the heart of our organization. And I had the discussion with them going all the way back last year, May and June, about what are some of the ideas from the organization? How would you guys feel about a combination department? Because that discussion with them, in my mind, was the first step. I didn't want to certainly alienate anybody on our squad, and I wanted to show respect to all of those who give so many hours every month. And to say that they were arms wide open welcoming it, I think would be a little bit of an exaggeration. But you know, all of the people on the Richland County Ambulance Service, all the volunteers, their mindset really is, what can we do to keep this organization viable? They want to continue to serve the community, and they understand that this is an option, a good option, or you know, one of the good options to go with. And the goal behind it would be not to necessarily have a full-time department, but have full-time staff supporting the volunteers. And there's going to be some growing pains with that, I think, but there's a lot of advantages to the volunteer and to just delivery of the service with having a small amount of full-time folks.
Will it be hard to find EMTs that you can hire on a full-time basis? And potentially, could some of our current EMTs who are very capable consider that as a career?
Well, I think the market in EMS is kind of growing. There's more emphasis on education. They're offering associate's degrees now for paramedic and so on. So I think that depending on what you offered, you might have several applicants. And you're right, it could be somebody within. I think that the organization that is choosing the employees are going to look at every pool that they can to get the right people, because it's not just going to be a person who's got a license. They're going to have the mindset and the understanding of what a volunteer does, because they have to be able to integrate with the volunteer and not just come look at it as a full-time job.
Now, if you had, let's say you hired four, would you still have to have the advanced EMTs to support them to develop your crews? Or would having four full-time people, if that's what you decided, would that give you some flexibility in your scheduling for how you would bring in other personnel to support each squad?
Well, hiring 3 to 4 people, what I had laid out is they would work a 24-hour shift, or a California shift is what it's called. So they would work a day off a day, work a day off a day, and have so many off after that. And so each day there'd be one full-time person on the first truck out, which would mean we would just need one volunteer to come in and supplement that, and now we would have an ambulance.
Would they stay at the courthouse?
The full-time people would have to, yes. And as we work through the process, years down the road, 2 to 5 years down the road, we would need to look at facility. But currently, we could do that in-house. So having that flexibility, or having that one person here, really doesn't change how the volunteers are going to schedule their hours. They'll still have that flexibility. Our minimum is 48 hours a month. And so there's going to be open slots on the first truck out and the backup truck to fill in where they're able to. And I think once we get through the growing pains, they'll see that having the right people as full-timers supporting them, making sure that the rig checks are done and the rigs are ready to go and helping with paperwork and just so many things that a volunteer has to worry about now. I'm hoping that we would get to the point where the volunteers can come and do what they wanted to do in the first place, which was help people, and be supported by the full-time staff and by myself, not them supporting us.
Fred, certainly we talk about our volunteers. They do receive some compensation. Maybe that's something you can help us understand, or Darren too. They're not compensated greatly, but they do receive some compensation, but our volunteers nonetheless, correct?
Correct. They do receive a per-call amount, and they also do receive an amount, an hourly amount to carry the pagers. And again, I guess I don't know exactly what that amount is. I'll have to refer to Darren to tell me what that is. But they do get some compensation. It's not a great amount by any means at all. It was never intended to be a great amount, but it was intended to compensate them, you know, for their time in there. But just to follow up a little bit on Darren, the full-time staff, if it goes that direction, would be there to supplement the volunteers. It's not intended to replace them.
That's an important concept. If we learn nothing else this morning, that word supplement is one we should just hang on to, isn't it?
I think so.
Because I think there's a huge difference, Darren. There would have been for you as an EMT. If you were still active in the squad, that would make a difference, wouldn't it, Fred?
It would to me, yes.
Now, speaking about being on page, didn't at the meeting, the county city ad hoc meeting, wasn't it said 75 cents an hour when you're on, which means you give up all your freedom to be able to go anywhere, do anything for 75 cents an hour. And the buzz around me that night was, boy, that, you know, that's not much to sacrifice all your freedom to be ready to make a call.
No, it isn't much, but, you know, all of the volunteers that received that, they were still, I mean, when that announcement was made, it's 75 cents for the weekday and $1.25 for the weekend. They, whether it was a lot or whatever, their heart was a thank you. They appreciated it. And I think that was really, through the committee and the county board, was a gesture back saying, hey, we know that things are tough right now. We want to show you the, you know, some appreciation. And so we worked within a budget that we had to give them some kind of a on-call stipend. They also get a bonus in December, $2 for every call they're on in a 12-month period. And we do pay for all their education. So there are some perks to this. Is it enough? No, I don't think it's enough.
I think that was the general consensus. And Janetta, correct me if I'm wrong, but Darren, at that meeting, what I was hearing, people were more concerned about, is it enough? Is it adequate? How can we find people if this is what we're doing?
Yeah, but, you know, other than paying full time, you know, I had conversations with people yesterday from my squad. Going off of that idea, if we were able to give you a little more, whether it's the per call or the pager carrying time, would that drive you to give more time? And, you know, they kind of reflected back and they're like, well, I don't know. And I've got people on our squad that are doing 400 hours a month. I don't think they could give any more time.
I wish I'd have reworded what I said. I don't think there's anyone that's serving because of 75 cents or a dollar quarter an hour. That's what I should have said.
Yeah.
That's not their motivation.
Right.
But I think the general public thought, are we really doing right by these people, or are we doing what Fred Clary said? It's time for us to step up to the plate and say, what are we really asking you to do? We're asking a lot.
Right. Yes, exactly. And maybe there is, I mean, we're going to look at those numbers. I mean, it's a good idea. And I think all the ideas that were generated from that meeting need to be looked at. I don't think you should turn away any of them. Once we do the math and look at the numbers and see what it shows, maybe there is something there. And that, you know, that really hiring three or four full-time people, that would go a long way too. Even though, again, there'll be some growing pains with that, the things that those full-time staff and myself can do to support the volunteers and make it easier for them will go a long way as well.
That will also assist you in mutual aid, won't it?
I think so. And, you know, I was talking to Dorothy Hackle last year. They came and assisted us a few times. We were fortunate to have staff for two crews, and were able to help them out twice. And, you know, I was just kind of, I'm really sorry we had to have you guys come out and help us. We really appreciate that you were able to be there. And she's like, Darren, that's going to be the future of EMS in this area. We're all going to have to rely on each other because there's just no other way to do it. And so, yes, if we hire three or four full-time people, that will make us stronger. And to Janetta's point earlier, we'll keep those smaller communities, we'll keep their EMS system strong. And if they're strong and viable, then we'll be strong and viable, and vice versa.
What we're talking about this morning is not made to take the place of anything that Kickapoo or Lone Rock or Casanova are doing at present. That's correct. A correct statement, isn't it,
it
Janetta?
It is very correct, yes.
But it's important for residents in those areas to know that that we're not talking about, you know,
taking
circumventing
over
that or no, anything else.
No, not taking over their area or anything. And another point that I think was a bit of a misunderstanding the other night at the meeting about the training, we do pay for their training, all of their training. And I think some people didn't get that, and so I want to make sure everyone understands that the training is paid for.
Ideally, you hope that everyone understands every move that you're making right now. That's the real goal in this whole process, isn't it?
It is. We want to be transparent, and it started back when Darren started having conversations with the EMTs about what it was, what needed to happen, what was happening, or what was happening. There wasn't enough people. So it's been that transparency all the way through. We went to the city and said, you know, we have an issue, and we talked to the city. We decided at that point that we needed the townships at the meeting. And so we've tried to include all the players, and we've tried to give them the information that they've requested and they need. We've given them the financials of our budget. We have projected what it would cost to do an enhanced or blended crew with the county running it, and we also tried to project what it would cost to form a district. So we've tried to be very transparent. That's very important to me, and I think it's important to the entire EMS committee.
It also seemed an important point at the city-county ad hoc meeting, Janetta, that the committee that you're going to form, or the group, or whatever we want to call it, will not make the decision. That will ultimately come back to the different levels of government in the city, county, and townships.
Correct. The ad hoc committee has no power to make any decisions other than to decide to meet again or to go back to their entities, and that's what we're doing now with going back and recommending a committee and appointing that committee. And the county will take the lead on that, provide a resolution naming or the entities that will be on the committee, and then be able to compensate them for coming to those meetings. And so we want that process to be out front and outlined for everyone too.
So if all these representatives come together at that meeting, it was talked about the county run, a district going to a private service, you know, there were all different variants.
Right.
Will that committee look at all of those, but could it also look at something that wasn't even mentioned in case there is such a thing?
Correct. Correct. They will look at all of those and, you know, just weigh all the options and then make a recommendation back to the governing boards.
You also have the chance, Darren, you talked about, but different communities do things differently. And there has been some look at how maybe Reedsburg handles its circumstances, or, you know, other communities. That one, I think, came up in the course of conversation last month.
Yeah, I had the opportunity late last summer, early fall, to go to Reedsburg Area Ambulance Service and meet with their service director, Josh, and The system that they have there really was the closest mirror image of what I envisioned here. They have a full-time service director, and they have three full-time paramedics. They're a paramedic-level service, and then they supplement everything else with their volunteers. They do about the same call volume 911-wise. They do a few more interfacility transfers than what we do right now. They're in that position, but our 911 call was pretty close. And so I just kind of visit, I mean, it was 3.5 hour visit. And I got to talk to folks in Washera County. I've talked to other systems. Everybody does do it differently. They staff differently. District 1 EMS, which is housed out of Mesa Mani, I believe Jim Wick is full-time. The rest of their staff is volunteer. And so there's lots of different blueprints that you can go by, and that's a good thing because we can get something that will fit our area rather than a one-size-fits-nobody.
Is there a point when this has to be, you know, you talked about budgets, Janetta, a little bit earlier. Is that, you know, not the line in the sand, but I mean, is there a marker where something needs to happen?
Pretty close. I think we're all hoping that January 2015 we will have whatever solution in place. That's in some ways that seems like a long way away because we're sort of hanging on with what we're doing for a long period of time. But when you talk about governmental entities making a decision, it's sort of like herding cats, if you know, of getting everybody going in the same direction. So it'll take us that long. But that's sort of the goal. Not sort of. That is the goal. January of 2015 to have it in place.
Here we are in early March. You know, so you take 90 days with the committee, which is not put together yet.
Right.
It's going to be
close.
There's a lot, isn't there,
right,
to be done?
And to be fair to all the entities, there are budgeting issues. And we start budget in August. So, and I'm sure others do too. So we really need to be prepared to be able to do, to at least have some budgeting figures.
Fred, is there something that you'd like to say that I didn't give opportunity to you to do, or a point maybe you'd like to reiterate, or anything along that line, or our time, we're starting to use up the rest of our time?
Not really. I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity. But I think we've covered it pretty well here this morning, and I apologize for my voice. It's been coming and going this week. So, but no, I think we've covered it all pretty good. Thank you.
One of the things, and Darren made this point, is that people shouldn't worry. I think the volunteers that we have, they're going to staff that ambulance. They're going to do what it takes. We're fortunate to have the outlying services who partner well. I think it's about maintaining what we currently have and making sure that quality remains strong.
Oh, that's very true. I have confidence in our volunteers. You know, their hearts are in it. And as I said earlier on here this morning, you know, I have all the utmost respect of all of our EMS volunteers and our firefighters and our first responders. We've got a great bunch of volunteers.
From your experience, though, I think your heart tells you why many of those volunteers want to continue. It's that opportunity to serve. It's that opportunity to help somebody in their greatest hour of need, which is incredibly rewarding, albeit demanding, but also rewarding at the same time.
Oh, very, very much so. Very true.
Janetta, is there something you'd like to say that I, you know, is something you'd like to reiterate as a part of our conversation?
Just to thank you for coming to the meeting the other night. Thank all the participants that came. The town chairs were very responsive in sending representation, and I want to thank them for doing so. And to Darren, because he's taken the brunt of this. He's having to put all the thoughts and the figures together, taking the calls and the criticisms and the suggestions and sort of filtering them through to see what we use and what we don't use. So thanks to Darren for the work that he's doing.
Darren, anything you'd like to add?
I just appreciated everybody that's engaged in the process. And we're going to do our part by continuing to put out information, honest information, and be as transparent as we possibly can. And I'm grateful for everybody engaged in the process, and I'm looking forward to getting everybody together and coming up with a solution.
If people want to go to the county website, there's some additional information. We can begin to, or not begin to, we can look at some of the numbers that were talked about. In fact, all the handouts at the meeting are posted online, aren't they?
The handouts pretty will much. Be up there. With your permission, we've been able to take the morning show and the news pieces, and we'll have those up there so that if individuals didn't have an opportunity to listen to it when it was first broadcast, they can go there so they can find information on the website. And, you know, they can contact anybody on, you know, in the office, the Emergency Management Committee. Talk to the volunteers. I mean, there's so many people in our community that know all of the volunteers on the squad. you know, don't be afraid to stop them and ask them, you know, just to share what their thoughts and ideas are, and be engaged. If the public does their part in engaging in the process, we'll do our part in sharing the information and being transparent. We'll find a solution to this.
And if we'll take just a moment to thank an EMT when we see them, that would go a long way.
It would. That would mean the world to them if you just come up to them, and maybe they won't recognize you right away, but just that thank you on, you know, when you see them on the street corner. I had somebody come to me today and give me a challenge coin, an EMS challenge coin. It completely blew me out of the water to start my day off with a, you know, they stuck out their hand and said, I just want to thank you for what you do, and here's this challenge coin. For those that might not know it, it's just a small token of appreciation, but to me it was everything. You know, it really lifted me up for the day.
Well, we'll look forward to more conversations. Thanks to all of you for your service to our county and community. We appreciate it very much. Thank you for listening to The Morning Show today on WRCO Radio. Our thanks to our guests, Jeanetta Kirkpatrick, Fred Clary, and Darren Gudgeon.